I think it's very important for all of us to recognize that we're in dire times. And part of the dire times are that there are many more humans on Earth and that we are making a much greater impact on the Earth than our predecessors. If we want our grandchildren to have resources and survive, we've got to do things today that are different than were done 10, 20, 40, 50 years ago. One of the important ways of thinking about this is something that Garrett Hardin wrote in 1968 on the tragedy of the commons. And Hardin's analysis was that people were, his analogy was a pasture. And he imagined a group of pastoralists harvesting, and the more cows you put on the meadow, the more you got out, and the more you put on, the more you got out. But if we all put on too many cows, we ruin the meadow. And it was a powerful allegory and had some truth for some of the systems that humans have open access to. But many, many ways of organizing institutions enable people to use the commons together and to use it in a renewable way over time. Now, the economists looked at this problem as one of a sustainable, maximum sustainable yield. And so when they were looking at it, they were trying to think through, and Scott Gordon was the person who did this model first, where he posited that for a resource system, there was a curvilinear relationship. At the beginning, you could take out more and more. That's part of the problem. It's attractive. But there comes a point, if you keep taking out still more, you've gone over the equilibrium and it collapses. And so the problem it was, as Scott Gordon posed it, is that humans were dealing with primarily individualized private costs and private benefits. And this is the benefit minus the cost curve. And if they followed that, they came out to here, and they were this far away from sustainable yield. And if you harvest this much over, instead of sustainable year after year after year, you use it up and it may collapse and disappear. And this has happened. So in terms of ocean fisheries, we have lost a number of species in the oceans because there have been people whose payoff was primarily private profit, and they've gone in and harvested. Sometimes we call them roving bandits because they can harvest here, and then they just rove on to move someplace else, and there is some very important work on roving bandits. But there are many people who are not able just to roam and steal. They have a time and place that is theirs. And it isn't the government, it is theirs. And so if we go to the Alpine Commons, 500 years ago, there were farmers who were able to farm in private land below and do the way they managed the commons up high. And those were sustainable over very long periods of time. Many coastal fisheries, many lakes all over the world have been sustained by a community that organizes. But then they have to be able to create rules and enforce them. They have to determine who is a member, who can access when. And the number of incredibly complex rule systems we've discovered around the world is reassuring. But sometimes when people look at the world with this simple model, they presume everybody is doing this. They don't have any interest in sustainability. And thus, they can't be doing anything other. And we must impose rules from the outside. And so the presumption is that it's always got to be the state, the big guys with the guns, who tell us what we should do. Well, yes, there are settings like that. But we need to also recognize that when humans have ownership rights as a commons, common property rights, they frequently can determine how many people should use, what seasons they should use. If you become familiar with a lobster fishery in Maine or any of a wide variety of other sustainable resources where we know they are sustainable, you find that the people who are involved argue about it, talk about it, discuss it, found ways of adjusting their rules so they're adaptable over time to make their system resilient. They've got to be adaptable over time. And they grow trust in one another, because if I'm going to be the good guy that doesn't harvest way out here, I'm going to be a good guy harvesting back so that together we go to sustainable yield. I've got to trust that you will do the same, because if I'm a good guy and you harvest as much as you want, I'm a sucker. And humans don't like being suckers. And the presumption underlying this theory was that humans couldn't figure out ways themselves of avoiding being suckers. But what it is possible, if you enhance the way of people organizing and developing rules that match the systems they're trying to study and work with and live with, they can learn how to trust one another so they're not a sucker. But there's too much thinking that there's only one way of doing it. And so in many cases where people had evolved all sorts of fascinating complexity to deal with their complexity, the presumption was, they weren't written down. Colonial powers, for example, came in Eastern Africa and said, they're overusing. The Maasai, they kicked them off of their land and nationalized it, and then made it much less. They didn't understand it, so they were over-harvesting. And so we've got to understand the institutional diversity that is out there, because if we're going to actually protect biodiversity and not have just simple systems, but complex systems where there are many species interacting, we have to have local knowledge that's rich about those institutions, those ecologies. So we've got to have institutions that match the complexity of the systems that are involved. And those systems have to be complex. So my motto will be build enough diversity to cope with the diversity of the world and allow multi-tier systems at multiple scales so that you don't try to have a uniform top-down panacea that's predicted to cure everything and instead of curing it, kills it.